In recent years, there's been some interest among those with Church of God backgrounds into the what's called Messianic Judaism. Now, some have wondered if they could be part of the Church of God because of their keeping of the Sabbath and because of the keeping of the holy days and, of course, many of the Old Testament traditions, but especially because of their acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Savior and their belief in the New Testament. And so on the surface, it seems to be similar to our beliefs. What I'd like to do in the sermonette time is to discuss three major differences between the Church of God and Messianic Judaism. But before we begin, I want to mention that just as there are among the Church of God groups, there are numerous subdivisions within Messianic Judaism. Each has its own unique doctrinal variations. Some, for instance, have more singing and dancing in their services on the Sabbath. Others don't even meet on the Sabbath. So you have this variety. But the following three differences are common to basically all those groups within Messianic Judaism. The first difference is, than us, is they believe in the Trinity. Now, we believe in the Father and the Son, who is the Word. Notice this scripture over here in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. You notice there's, for us, one God, the Father, and one Son, the Lord. There's no mention of the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe that the Holy Spirit is the power and the mind essence of God. I'd like to quote from one of their statements of belief on this. This comes from a Messianic Judaism. This is what they believe, and I quote, God who created us exists forever in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that is not what we believe. In fact, the Jewish Christian Federation says this. We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So their beliefs about the Godhead are very similar to those of mainstream Christianity and not with the Church of God. Now, the second difference of belief is that they give equal weight to oral tradition as with the law of God. In other words, they really think that the oral law is actually, in some cases, more important than the law of God. Now, Jesus Christ had to address this even at the time he was with the Jews and Pharisees. And we see this over in Mark 7. Mark 7. Mark 7 and beginning in verse 6. Mark 7 and verse 6. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips. Sure, there are people that acknowledge that God exists, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Notice verse 13. Then making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Judaism became a religion of tradition. And Jesus clearly is showing God's mind on this subject, that human tradition cannot equal to God's law. and God's commandments, and it does not negate God's law, that tradition. And Christ disallowed any of those things that would come into conflict with the Ten Commandments. One of the most popular groups, Jews for Jesus, teaches its followers that it's fine to keep Christmas. Well, wait a minute now. We would say, no, that's not accurate. That's not right. Because God's law says you've got to keep the holy days and not the pagan holidays. They also believe that Christ fulfilled any personal obligation to do the law, to keep the law, including the holy days, because they believe that Christ kept the law and the holy days, and therefore you don't have to. And so the role of the member in keeping the law is not really broached that often in those particular groups. In fact, those approaches are in direct conflict with God's word. And when you take a closer look at some of their beliefs, it reveals their doctrines are closer to what we would see in evangelical Christianity than those of the early New Testament church. Then we come to the third difference, and that is they do not accept the truth of the lost tribes of Israel. They believe the greatest miracle of our day has been the reestablishment of the modern state of Israel. They actually use Amos 9. Let's look at Amos 9, verse 11. Amos 9. Amos 9 and verse 11. On that day, now we would understand what this means, but these are the scriptures they use to prove to themselves that the reestablishment of Israel in 1948 was actually prophesied in these verses. I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They'll build the waste cities and inhabit them. That's one of the particular verse they look at and say, okay, God's brought them back into the land that is now called Israel that was established in 1948. And of course, they believe that now that homeland has to be maintained. Now we understand that these verses here are referring to the beginning of the millennium after Jesus Christ returns. But they believe that this is all the Jews, including the 12 tribes of Israel, have already come back and are now living in the state of Israel. They reject the fact that the sons of Joseph are the descendants that we now find in U.S. and Britain. They believe that the greatness of Israel came during the days of Solomon. And so what they do is they miss out on the prophecies of what's going to happen to both Israel and Judah in the future. And they miss out on the fact that there's going to be a final reunification between the northern tribes of Israel and the nation of Judah when Jesus Christ returns. Now there's more that can be said, but those are the three major differences. But before we conclude, let's notice one other thing that Jesus taught in John 17, verse 11. John 17, verse 11. And this is what Jesus spoke and prayed to God before he was arrested. And we read this during the night of the Passover. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, keep through your name is a very important quality to find within the Church of God. Because we don't see that he was praying that they would be kept in Christ's name or in some Christian fellowship name or in some type of messianic group, but that we are to be kept in the name of God. Hence, the name of the church is the Church of God. So when we hear about Messianic Judaism, we'll now have a better understanding of these three major doctrines, which make us different than they are and makes them different from the Church of God.